truth here of this future resurrection, the resurrection of believers. We read it right here, and we're going to see in other places, so I hope you have your Bible handy with you this morning, and you're able to flip around and look at some things with us. But we first need to nail down this biblical truth. There is coming a resurrection in the future for believers. He says there in that verse 51, I tell you a mystery. And what we need to know about that is when the New Testament writers talk about a mystery, they're not referring to this like as some type of crime novel or some type of thriller, and we have all these clues out there that are hidden and we're trying to figure them all out. That's not what it means when he says, here is this mystery that I reveal to you. I'm telling you this mystery. Well, what it simply means is that this is a divine truth that God didn't let us really know about. It was a divine truth, a truth from God, a truth of God, and he is now telling us this is the truth. This was the mystery that you didn't know about this. It hadn't been revealed, and now God's saying, I reveal it to you. How does God reveal this mystery to us? The same way he reveals everything to us. It's by this special revelation. It's by his divine truth. That is, this is a revelation from God. He tells us in his word. That's what special revelation is. God has given us everything we need to know about this life and about the future. He's given to us in his word from Genesis through Revelation. God has told us the truth. He has told us everything we need, and he tells us, listen, here is what's going to happen. There is coming a day when every person that's in Christ, that is who is a believer, there's coming a day when if they are dead, they will be raised from that grave, and they'll be given a glorified body, and they're going to meet the Lord in the air. He says, so this mystery has been revealed. How has it been revealed? God has given it. It's not that Paul figured it out. It's that God told Paul and Paul wrote it down so that we can know about it. God has given us his word. That's what this mystery is. Another awesome, awesome text of scripture is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can turn there with me. Just turn over there a few pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Listen to what God's word says. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep. Now that's a euphemism. That's he's telling us people who are dead. It's not like they are really asleep. It's that they're dead. Okay? And these people were concerned about what's going to happen to our dead friends, our dead brothers and sisters in Christ, because the first century church, just as we today should be living, they believed Jesus was going to return at any moment. They believed Christ was going to return in their lifetime. That's how God has called us to live. No man knows the day or the hour when Jesus is going to return. He can come at any moment. Nothing else has to happen in this world for Jesus to return. He can return at any moment. And so they were like, hey, what's going to happen to our friend? We're upset about our family and friends who have died before Christ has returned. What's this mean for them? He says, don't be uninformed as those who are concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest of those who have no hope. He's saying, listen, we have a hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For we say this to you by a word from the Lord. There it is again. Where does this word come from? Does it come from some human? Does it come from some random person? Does it come from some intellectual? Does it come from some scientist? No, this is not a word from someone like you and me. He says, no, this is a word from God. This is a word from the Lord. He says, we give you this word from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice and with the trumpet of God. And listen, it says, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And who is the we? Well, that's the church. That's the believers. That's the Christians. So he's saying, listen, encourage one another, therefore. Encourage one another with these words. The truth of the resurrection of believers is a word of encouragement for us. It reminds us that Jesus wins. Let me say it again. Jesus wins. Do you know Jesus never loses? He has won on the cross, and he wins. And everything coming in the future, you can mark it down, Jesus wins. And so when it comes to our life, when it comes to the day when we die and we're buried in a grave, unless Jesus comes before then, we know something. In the end, Jesus wins. Death doesn't have victory over a believer. Jesus has the victory because he wins. And so we have here this resurrection of believers, 1 Thessalonians. We see it in 1 Corinthians. The resurrection of the body will happen quickly. It says that Jesus will step out of heaven. He will step out onto the clouds. The trumpet is going to sound. And what's going to happen? Well, all of those who are dead in Christ will rise first. That's what the Bible says. And so everyone who has already died, who is a believer in Jesus, their soul has been in heaven from the moment they took their last breath. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so immediately their soul is in heaven, experiencing the joy of heaven with Jesus. But there's coming a day when Jesus is going to step out onto the clouds. The trumpet's going to sound. And here's what's going to happen. The dead in Christ, their bodies are going to come out of the grave. Jesus is going to unite the soul of that person back with their body. And they're going to be given a raised, glorified body to spend eternity with God forever in his kingdom. So the dead in Christ will rise first. And he says, and look, when Jesus comes again to rapture his church, there are going to be those who are not dead yet. They're going to be living, and they're not going to go up to Jesus first. No, first the dead, and then immediately as those are raised, then those who remain that haven't died will immediately be transformed and will not experience death. Will be transformed and given that glorified, that body will be glorified and will rise and meet Jesus in the air as well. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right? Go back there with me. It says in verse 52 that this will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. How fast does all this happen? Well, it happens faster than you can imagine. Faster than anything I can do up here right now to show you how fast it will happen. When Jesus steps out into the clouds to call the church to be with him, it's instantaneous. It says in the twinkling of an eye. That is, if you don't know, that's faster than you can blink. It's that little glimmer of your eye. That's how fast all of this transformation will take place. The dead will be raised. Will be raised, be given a glorified body in the twinkling of an eye. And what kind of body is this? Well, it says right here that this is a raised and incorruptible. They will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. A perfect body, an incorruptible body. Now, you remember what Jesus did in the Gospels during his earthly ministry. What did he do? One of the great miracles he did was he actually raised dead people back to life. I think about the great account of his friend Lazarus in the Gospel of John. And there his friend Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And Jesus waited for those days to go on. And then finally he went to visit the family of his friend Lazarus, and he was going there and he knew what he was going to do. He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he was in this grave, and he says, listen, we're going to go out there and I'm going to raise him from the dead. And they're like, how are you going to do that? And Jesus says, remember something, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what he says. He says, don't you believe? Don't you believe in me? I am the resurrection and the life. Okay? And so he goes, and there Lazarus is dead in this grave with the stone rolled away. And he says, y'all go remove that stone. They said, Jesus, we can't do that. The body is already stinking. He's been decomposing in there for 4 days now. So please, Jesus, let's just let it be. He says, don't you believe? I said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm going to raise this man from the dead. And so they went and they moved that stone away. And he called out, he said, Lazarus, come out of the grave. And Lazarus stood up out of that grave. He came back to life in his physical body. He walked out kind of looking like a mummy because he was wrapped up in all those cloths. And he came out alive. The dead was brought back to life because Jesus brought him back. He said, have life, be raised up. And Lazarus came out of the grave. He said, take the cloths off of him. He's back with you now. Jesus raises people from the dead. But here's what we need to understand about Lazarus and those other people in the Gospels. Lazarus would later die again. Did you know that? Lazarus would later die. Jesus raised him physically from the grave. He came out. He ended up continuing to live his life with his friends and his family. But eventually, he would get sick again. Eventually, he would die, and he would be put in a tomb again, and he would be buried again. And here's the reason why. Because when Jesus raised him, he just raised him in his earthly, fleshly, flesh and blood body, and he was raised back to that life. Here's what Jesus is telling us in these scriptures, is that when we are raised in the resurrection of believers, we will be physically raised, but we will not be raised in flesh and blood like exactly like we are today. We'll be raised in flesh and bones in a glorified body. It will be our physical body that God raises up, but he will raise us up in the power of the Spirit of God. It'll be a glorified body. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Not like how Lazarus was raised in that he died again, but in a glorified body that's incorruptible. We'll not experience any pain, any suffering, no sin, no corruption, absolutely perfect, and really unlike anything we can even imagine. The way our bodies will be like, we will, almost like some kind of superhuman strength we'll have. We'll be able to know and see and do and experience things that we just can't experience in the body that we have right now. I want to kind of discuss this with you. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 45, which, by the way, 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter in the scripture. This entire chapter is all about the resurrection. So verse 45 says, so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. So who's this first man? Who's this second man? Let me just stop us right there. Obviously, what this is referring to is Adam is that first man that God created in the Garden of Eden. He formed him out of the dust of the ground. He breathed his life into him, and Adam had this life. That's the first man, and the first man sinned. In the first man, there's corruption. In the first man, there's pain, there's suffering, there's death. The second man is who? Is Jesus. Who's the man from heaven? It's Jesus, the Son of God. So Jesus has come. And so it says, the second man is from heaven. Now verse 48, like the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. So we are like the man of dust, are we not? We are like the man of dust. We come from that line of Adam. We too are men of the dust. And so we are like him. We experience the things that Adam experienced. We experience death. We experience pain. We experience suffering. We experience our mind going crazy. We experience all kinds of stuff as the man of dust, like Adam. But listen to what it says. So we're like him, it says, like the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we bear his image. Listen, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. That's what's happening in this resurrection of believers. We bear the image of the man of the dust now, but the Bible says those of us who are in Christ, there's coming a day when we will bear the image of the man of heaven. That means we are going to be like Jesus. That's what that means. We will be given a glorified body like the body of Jesus that came out of the grave in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. That everlasting glorified body of Christ that physically, bodily was raised from the grave and glorified, we will receive a body like the body of Jesus, the man of heaven. That's what type of body this is. Say, what's a resurrection body like? That's the type of body. It's a body like the body of Jesus. And earlier in this passage, I'm not going to read it, but it talks here about that you sow a seed. And when a seed is sown, what happens is that seed dies. And when that seed when you sow that seed in the ground and that seed dies, from that seed, a great tree it grows. A great tree comes from that seed. And so our bodies are sown in the ground. We die and we're buried in the ground. We're buried in the grave. But it's hard for us to understand and think through the fact that from our earthly bodies, God is going to raise us up in a powerful, glorified body. And that's what the Lord is going to do. We have this body like Adam, the first man, but we're going to have a body like Jesus, the man of heaven. Now, when we think about this resurrection and we think about the body of Jesus, right? Jesus' body laid in the grave for 3 days. And it wasn't a different body that was raised, okay? Just like for us, it's not going to be a different body. It's our body that's raised, but God's going to glorify it and make it different in that glorification. Jesus' body, his earthly body was raised from the grave in that glorified body of Christ. Now, when we think about that, we think about, well, what's going to happen? What happens to people who we don't even know where their body's at? Like, their body is essentially gone, right? They were eaten alive by some vicious animal, you know, some lion out in Africa. And I mean, their bones were crunched and crushed away, and their body isn't just, you know, in some grave somewhere. Or some person that was lost at sea and their body was devoured by fish and things and their bones and all that has all been deteriorated in some great way. Or some person that went through some catastrophic tragedy, some fire that just burned them up and demolished them through some catastrophic event. Well, what we got to know is this: God is not limited, is he? If God was limited, he wouldn't be God. Do you know that? God's not limited by what we think. God is able to do anything. And so God's not limited by those things. And so with those people, we know that God will too raise them from the dead. He will bring the particles of that person's body back together, and he will give them a glorified body. And I believe that body is going to look like the body that was here on earth. You will be able to recognize and know that person. Now, that brings something else up, man. It might get a little uncomfortable for some of you in here today, okay? But you know theology hits life. Where are we supposed to make decisions about life? Well, we're supposed to make decisions about life from the Bible, and I believe the Bible has a lot to say to us about all kinds of decisions we make, okay? So what I'm about to say to you, don't hear what I'm not saying. So let me preface it by that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I want to talk to you a little bit about cremation for a moment. Now, one of the things that is really a fad in our day now is for people to be cremated. Now, if you know anything about cremation, it's not a pretty picture. I'm just going to tell you, as someone who has done funerals and has sat with funeral directors and they've explained to me what has to happen for cremation, it's not a pretty thing. All right, the body is absolutely just destroyed in cremation with the fire that burns, and it just really does something to the person. And so here's what I'm trying to say. You say, well, Pastor, what's your thought on cremation? Well, I'm going to give you my thought on cremation. Okay, this is my thought. As I say, if at all possible, do not do it. If at all possible, do not do it. Okay, it's not because a person that's cremated won't be raised on the last day, because I've already shared with you, God is not limited, and a person will be raised. Those people that have been lost throughout history by catastrophic events, God will raise them. I believe the reason why we should really not be into cremation is because of what a burial represents and what we see in Scripture. It seems to me like all throughout Scripture, the prescription for a person who dies is for that person to be honored and respected, and to care for the body of that dead person, to put them in the ground as a testimony, listen to me, as a testimony to this truth, that I believe there's a day coming when Jesus is going to raise that body from the ground and he's going to meet the Lord in the air. It's a testimony, my friend. And so listen, I'm telling you, we need to think about these things deeply as we go through them. Most people today go in the direction of cremation for one reason, and I'm going to tell you what it is. Money. That's the one reason. That's the one reason. Let me encourage you in this. Give your children and your grandchildren and your family the opportunity to honor your body. They can't afford it. They'll find the money. Give them the opportunity to honor your life and your body and to care for your bones and to say, we believe Jesus is going to raise him up one day, and we're going to place them in the ground. And we're believing what the Bible says, to not grieve like those who have no hope. We have a hope. This body's going to raise again. Jesus is going to bring them back. It's a testimony. Listen, turn with me to Genesis chapter 50 really quickly. Genesis chapter 50. Joseph is about to die. God has had his hand on his life, and he has got him to Egypt to save his family. And I want you to listen to what Joseph says, starting in verse 24. Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will certainly come to your aid and bring you up from the land to the land he swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here's what's happened with Joseph. Joseph is about to die. And here's what Joseph says. I remember, and I believe this. God promised Abraham that he would give the children of Israel the land of promise. That there is a promised land that he is going to give to his people. And God never breaks his promise. And he says, so I remember that. And so listen, I'm telling you, brothers, the children of Israel, listen, God is going to bring you to this land. Verse 25, so Joseph made the sons of Israel take an oath, when God comes to your aid, you are to carry my bones up from here. Joseph died at the age of 110. They embalmed him and placed him in a coffin in Egypt. Here's what Joseph said. I want you to put me in a coffin, and I believe so strongly God's going to take you to the land of promise. I want you to take my bones with you, because Egypt is not my home. My home is there. I may not see it in this life, but that's where I want to be buried. And for 400 years, there the body of Joseph laid in a casket with his bones being guarded while they were in slavery in Egypt. And then God raised up a man, Moses, this great prophet, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And when they left Egypt, there were some men that grabbed the casket of Joseph and carried it on their way to the promised land. But then they hit a little roadblock because of disobedience. And so they didn't get to go straight into the promised land. And then for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. I mean, imagine this. Here are these people wandering all throughout the wilderness, not knowing where they're going because of their disobedience, but God was still going to get them to the promised land. Finally, Moses stood up there. He could see the promised land, but he could not enter it because of disobedience. And Moses died overlooking the land of promise. And then Joshua was raised in power by God. And Joshua took the children of Israel. They entered the promised land. And you know who went with them? Joseph. His bones went with them as they carried the casket of Joseph, honoring his life, honoring what they believed about the promise of God. And they took him and they buried him in the land of promise. Listen, friends, here's what I'm trying to tell you today is I don't want you to hear something that I'm not saying. Listen, some of you, just like I know people in my own family, you are sitting there today and you're saying, you know, my loved one was cremated, and like those things are in the past. Listen, I'm telling you today, that does not limit God. Those people will be raised from the dead and be given a glorified body. Do you hear me? But what I'm telling you this is, especially young people and young parents and men and women in here today, these are things that you have to think through as you prepare for what you're going to do in the future. And I'm telling you today to think through this and give your people an opportunity to honor your body and be a testimony to this. Be a testimony to this. I believe Jesus is going to raise this body from the grave. I was at a funeral once, at a graveside service, and I love those good old country preachers. This is an old country preacher, and I never forget what he said. He stood around that graveside service, and here's what he said. He said, friends, many people call this a burial site. This isn't a burial site. He said, we're standing on a resurrection site. I'm telling you, one day, the bodies are going to be raised from the grave who are in Christ Jesus. We believe it because it is God's word. It is a testimony for us. It's an important thing for us to think through today. So, in the resurrection, we'll all be given a body like the glorified body of Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, we know that when he appears, Jesus, we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. There it is again. What's the scripture say? We will be like him. That's what our glorified body is going to be like. We're going to be have a body like the body of Jesus Christ, the man of heaven. We will see him as he is. So, quickly, what was the body? What's the body of Jesus like? We don't have a lot of time, but if we just think back to our study of the resurrection of Jesus, what's the body of Jesus? Well, number one, Jesus' body is a physical body. He was physically raised. Now, just like 1 Corinthians says, this isn't a body of flesh and blood. So right now, blood circulating in our body is what gives us strength and vitality and life. And when the blood stops flowing, we die. In a glorified body, it's not flesh and blood, it's flesh and bones. We are energized, we are strengthened, we are fueled by not blood, we're fueled by the Spirit of God. And so Jesus, he was raised, and what was his earthly body like? Well, Jesus was recognizable, was he not? He was recognizable. He wasn't like some stranger nobody could recognize. When they saw Jesus, unless he hid his identity, which he has the ability to do. Sometimes he would hide his identity and talk to people. But when he wasn't hiding his identity, people recognized him. There's Jesus. There he is. And they spent time in there. So what will our bodies be like? Well, they'll be recognizable. We will know one another. We'll know our brothers and sisters in Christ. We will know our parents. We'll know our kids and our grandkids, our friends, our cousins, our coworkers, those who are in Christ. We will recognize one another. It's a recognizable body. He looked like himself is what I'm trying to tell you. He looked like himself. We will look like ourselves. He was physical. He had a physical body. You could touch Jesus, and Jesus could touch you. He could talk and hear. He would have conversations with people. They would hear what he was saying. He would hear what they were saying. His disciples would touch where he was crucified, and they would touch the imprints of the nails on his wrist, and they would touch and see his side that was pierced. They would touch him. Jesus would meet with his followers and friends all through 40 days before his ascension. And he would do things like this. Listen, he would eat. That's why we're Baptist. We believe in eating. Okay? He would eat. So they had some potlucks. And Jesus brought the potluck. And he had the fire going, and he had fish on the fire and bread, and he fed his followers, and he ate with them, and he drank with them. Listen, this is what the glorified, raised body of Jesus was like. He could eat and he could drink. He could come and he could go quickly. Evidently, we're going to be able to come and go quickly. Jesus could walk through walls. Now, I can't explain that to you. But he could walk through walls. They were in their house with the door locked, and Jesus could come through and be in that room with them. It's a body like the body we have now, but it's different than the body we have now. It's a glorified body. It's a body like the body of Jesus. And this body has been prepared and is given to us for this reason, so that we can experience all the goodness that God wants us to experience in the kingdom of God, in heaven forever and ever and ever. You and I cannot imagine how wonderful, how glorious, how awesome heaven is going to be. You think springtime in Georgia is nice when the pollen's gone? Okay, you think Augusta, hey, look at this. I'm wearing my Augusta National shirt right here, the Masters. All right, you think Augusta National is a slice of heaven? Augusta National is the dump heap of heaven. It's nothing in heaven. Listen, heaven is not a place where we're going to float on clouds and play some kind of harp and we got nothing to do. We're a couch potato all day. It's a place of exploration. It's a place of glory. It's a place of beauty like we can never experience. We are going to do things in heaven that we could not even imagine today that we would have the ability to do. And how are we going to do it? With the body that Jesus gives us that's prepared to experience it all. Is that not wonderful to think about? And so we have a resurrection that's happening, this resurrection of believers. Now, lastly, I just want to look at this. I want us to see this ultimate victory and how it should impact our lives today. 1 Corinthians, picking back up in verse 53 in chapter 15, says this, "For this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality." When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, death, is your victory? Where, death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, we will be given a perfect body, incorruptible, no sin in this body, no shame in this body, no pain in this body, no disease in this body, no death in this body, no decay in this body, no aches and pains, no getting old, not held back by natural laws. This is a body that is glorified that Jesus gives us. It says that death is swallowed up in victory. What an amazing picture. You have that evil empire of death, and death is knocking on everyone's door, and nobody's getting away from death unless Jesus returns. And here's what the Bible says, that with Jesus, death is swallowed up in victory. It stands no chance with the victory that Jesus gives. I was at Chick-fil-A several weeks ago, and these teenagers were cracking me up because they were sitting at the table and one of their friends had their food got there at the table and he turned his back and a couple of them, they reached over, they got some waffle fries, ate them. He turned back and they went like that. The guy had no clue that they had taken some of his waffle fries and had eaten them. Here's what they did. They took it and they swallowed it down, and it was gone like it had never been there in the first place. It was there no more. He had no clue about it. The Bible says death is swallowed up in victory. Swallowed up in victory. It's no longer there. You have no record of it. It is absolutely gone. Where is death's victory? Where is death's sting? I mean, friends, I could tell looking at you when we are talking about people being buried and our loved ones and how we're going to go about, you know, burials and all that. I could look at your face and see how you were struggling. You were kind of upset about it. You're thinking about the pain because why? There is a sting in death. I mean, death stinks. It stings. It hurts. We don't like it. We're afraid of it. But the Bible tells us that the sting of death is gone. Where, oh, death, is your sting? It's like a dad when a boy, little boy in his truck has a bumblebee fly on his shoulder. And that bumblebee is ready to sting him, and he's going to feel the pain of it. But what's that good father do? He doesn't say, well, I'm going to let it sting him. He reaches over there with his bare hand. He grabs that bee like this, and he lets the bee sting him. So his son doesn't feel the sting of that bumblebee. And then he crunches that bumblebee, he throws it out, he takes the stinger out, and he's felt the sting, but now the sting is gone, the bee is gone, it's been dead. That's what Jesus has done for us. He has taken the sting of death for us. He has taken the pain of our sin, the suffering of our sin. He took it in his hand. He said, death, where is your sting? I've taken it. I've defeated it. I've risen from the grave. Hell has no claim. Sin has no claim. I'm victorious, Jesus says. And he says, for you and me in our life, there is no sting in death because Jesus has given us the victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? There is none, because Jesus has won this victory. So he wins. So he says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is a long chapter of doctrine and theology about resurrection. And then you just get to the end and you have just one little verse, really, that says, hey, here's some application for you. Here's what you need to do. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work. Steadfast is a word that originally was used to speak of one who was sitting. It's like a seat, like sitting. It refers to something that is firmly fixed in place. That's what our life should look like in Christ. We are firmly in place. We're sitting. We're secure in Christ. And so be steadfast. Be immovable, it says. Means don't get knocked over by sudden blows. Listen, life is trying to blow you down. There are blows. It's like we're in a boxing match, and man, there's blow after blow after blow. And what the Bible is saying is, listen, the devil's going to come at you, the world's going to come at you, but Jesus has the victory. You stand in there and be immovable. You just stand your ground. Let the world keep hitting on you. Let the devil keep hitting on you, because they don't have the victory. You have the victory. So be immovable. Don't be blown by the winds. Have your house built on the rock of Christ. And when these storms come, when it beats against you, you will be immovable. You will stand firm, because your life is built on Jesus. So he says, because of the resurrection, the future resurrection of your life, be steadfast, be immovable. And then I love this. And he says, always excelling in the Lord's work, because it's not in vain. That means to our life, we should be marked as people that we as Christians are doing more than what is expected as a believer. Doing considerably more than what someone would expect of you in your life. And that's the history of Christians. It's taking the gospel further than anyone ever thought it would go. Going places no one else would dare go, to love someone, helping someone who is in need. I've got testimony after testimony after testimony. Men and women in this room that have told me things that God has laid on their heart that they have done to bless other people. You know what that is? That's doing the Lord's work. That's excelling in it. And so he says to overflow in it, to flow over the edges in your life when it comes to doing the Lord's work. We don't do the Lord's work so that one day our life will be raised. We don't do the Lord's work so that one day we'll be in heaven. We do the Lord's work because we know we've already been saved, and he's promised us that he's going to raise us again. He's going to raise us on that day. Friend, Jesus died and he rose again to forgive you of your sin and to impart to you his life. We see this morning, Jesus will rapture his church. He will raise all those who are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, you will be given that glorified body that's suited for the kingdom of God forever and ever and ever. But until that day, be steadfast, immovable, and serve Jesus with every ounce of your being. But listen to me. If this morning you are not sure that if Jesus returns this afternoon, that you are in Christ and that you will meet him in the air, you need to get right with God today before you leave. You need to come forward when we sing here in a moment, and you need to say, today, I want the victory of Jesus in my life. I'm trusting in him. I'm asking him to forgive my sin, and I'm going all in with Jesus. That's what God wants you to do today. That's what He's calling you to do. That's what the Holy Spirit is drawing you to today. It's to Jesus. I know that it might seem weird or awkward to hear in a moment to come walk down front and tell me that today you need to trust in Jesus. But friend, don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. This is about eternity. This is about being with God in heaven forever. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray. Father, we ask you right now to move us as we respond to your word. Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for the resurrection of believers. God, help us in however we need to respond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please come as we sing.